Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here are Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
What a Stanley Cup playoff. Twists, turns, excitement, intensity, and finally, Drew, we have two teams that are still standing, the Western Conference champions and the holder of the Campbell Bowl, or maybe I shouldn't say holder since they didn't touch it. That would be, of course, the Edmonton Oilers, and in the Eastern Conference, the holder, or maybe not holder, of the Prince of Wales Trophy. That would be the Florida Panthers. I think that you and I thought that it was going to be Dallas against the Rangers. Shows how much we know.
Yeah, but I think we both had a sentimental spot for Dallas with, of course, Joe Pavelski, Mason Marchment, Steve Spott, and, of course, Pete DeBoer. We kind of had a sentimental spot for them, without a doubt. And the Rangers kept intriguing me. I kept thinking, are they as good as I think they are? And then they were, and they were, and they were, but then their top guys weren't. Their top guys didn't have any gas left. And Florida, I underestimated them last year. I'm not underestimating them anymore. They are impressive.
Well, the thing is that their experience last season has a lot to do with why they are who and what they are this season. And we'll get into that in a little bit. And I think it's very interesting right now as we begin the Stanley Cup final round to see the differences in the way that these teams are. And that is the Edmonton Oilers, in some respects, everything after the game ended between the Oilers and the Stars in Game 6 reminded me so much of when the San Jose Sharks beat the St. Louis Blues and what happened in the immediate aftermath of that. Patrick Marleau and Joe Thornton were put out on national television in their first appearance in the Stanley Cup final. You had the same thing happening with McDavid and Dreisaitl. You also have Matthew Tkachuk talking about how last season the Panthers were happy to be there. They thought they knew what it took. They found out, and they had an entirely different approach this season. And as you'll hear later on in the show, they had an entirely different approach to reacting to reaching the Stanley Cup final. What do you think of all that?
Yeah, I think I remember watching Joe and Patty and being really, really happy for them. And same thing happening when you watch Leon and Connor get up there. Although Joe and Patty looked a lot more pleased. They had accomplished something that was a long, long, long time coming. Not as long time coming for Leon and Connery, although it must have felt that way.
Maybe Ryan Nugent Hopkins, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm listening to Billy Lindsay yesterday on NHL radio and talking about what you were just talking about regarding last year with the Florida Panthers, who had to play like crazy and scramble to get to the playoffs. And by the time they got to the finals, they were held together with tape and popsicle sticks. You know, they just, shoulders were out, ankles were broken, knees were shot, and they didn't have anything left in the tank against Vegas. And this year, they were able to kind of, and Bill Lindsay was saying this, able to have a, not an easier path, but not have to say at game 78, if you had a hangnail, you weren't playing. You're going to stay healthy for the playoffs, and they're healthy right through. And their attitude is different, as you just said, that they're not happy to be there. They feel they have to finish the story.
No doubt about that. And as we discuss the Florida Panthers and the New York Rangers, let us go over game number 6 of that playoff series at Amerant Bank Arena in front of a massive crowd. Panthers fans hoping that their team could move on to the Stanley Cup final, and the Rangers going in there hoping and actually believing that they were going to get a game 7 and another chance at Madison Square Garden. Interesting note, Drew, that the game that the Florida Panthers played in that building to clinch the series was their 99th game of the year. So their very first game in the Stanley Cup playoffs will be game number 100 of the season, which is mind-boggling.
That's a lot of hockey. And like I said, they're healthy and feeling good about where they're at, obviously.
So let's get right to it. The Florida Panthers taking a 1-0 lead, and a man who has done it all playoff in a variety of ways, come back from injury, done a little bit of everything when he's been healthy. With less than a minute to play in the first period, it was Sam Bennett putting the Panthers on top.
Bennett now through the far circle, intercepted, and a clear from Gustafson. Bounces one into the neutral zone, and the Panthers will bring it back in quickly. Here's Bennett with room, left side, Rodriguez. Bennett, a shot, and he scores! Top shelf, off the bird, and the Panthers strike first with 48 and a half seconds to go here in the first period. It's 1-0 Panthers.
What a great goal that was. And then Vladimir Tarasenko, who's had a little bit of playoff experience, made it 2-0. About halfway through the third.
Panarin peels off to the boards, takes a look around the offensive end. A shot blocked by Anton Lundell, and he'll chip it up the near side. A foot race between Luostarinen and Keandre Miller, and Luostarinen wins that battle. Lundell in front, and they score! It was sent back door for Tarasenko, and the Panthers take a 2-0 lead with 10:52 to go here in the third period. What a feed out in front, and what a finish as Tarasenko jams it home!
Now, Tarasenko, as Paul Maurice has said a couple of times, is sort of hiding in the reeds, and he has to score one big goal each series. And Paul was asked about that after the game.
But there's more to it, because his last three games have been fantastic and better each one. Right? So he didn't bring an ego here. And I've got a really high expectation of him based on memory. I saw him in St. Louis when they beat us the year they won the Cup. He was so good. That series. And then he's a proud man as well, and he gets here and he shows up and we get all banged up, so we got a different line. He's on the left, he's the right. We made the adjustment in this series and he moved with Lundell's line. He likes talking hockey on the bench, and I think that's really important. So now you're talking to Barkey for a month, and then he gets in with Lundy and nothing changed, right? So he put his ego aside. And this continued to get better for us. So I'm happy for him because he wore it for a while. Not scoring is that's the thing he's bringing, right? But he brought a lot more this series than that. But I'm happy for him, too. And then I get to be right. So it doesn't happen very often.
Oh, it happens a little bit more often than just a little bit. And interesting to note that Tarasenko is a guy that no matter who you put him with, he knows where to go. He knows how to adjust to players. Yet Lundell has learned so much from Barkov that maybe that the adjustment isn't as severe as it might otherwise be. And then you got Luostarinen, who really has improved a lot in this playoffs.
Really has. When you look at this Florida Panthers team, Paul Maurice has pressed all the right buttons. I remember when we were there, he was talking about training camp and he was wondering about how they'd be coming into this training camp as opposed to last year when he really had to bark at them and get them in the right frame of mind. Wondering, we got to the Stanley Cup final, will they be softer this year? Well, no, they weren't. The players took over and Paul has been perfect post games because he's been light, easy, but he's really taken the focus off of the players, and he has been able to have his players completely take over on the bench and on the ice. How many times do we talk about it? It can't be about the guy behind the bench once you get to this stage. Once you were a good team, the players have to take over, and he has fostered that culture. And you got Barkov, Tkachuk, Ekblad, you have Bobrovsky, you have got a team there, Bennett, Reinhardt, you've got a team there of guys that have been there and are trying to get it done in this championship for the first time, and they are believing in each other right now, and that's a huge factor.
Well, that they are, and you've also got people like Kyle Okposo, who's got all that experience, and you've got Carter Verhaeghe, who scored some big goals, and Gustav Forsling, who's really had a big improvement, like Luostarinen, to become a really top defenseman. And all of that against the team that won the President's Trophy. Give the Rangers credit. They didn't quit till the very end, but a couple of things failed them. One thing it did not was Igor Shesterkin. He had an unbelievable playoff, was the best goalie in the playoffs without question of a doubt, but that wouldn't be enough, even with Artemi Panarin finally figuring out how to score in this series near the end.
Tkachuk couldn't clear, kept in by Fox. Set up for Zibanejad, he broke his stick on the shot. Tried a big slap shot, broke his stick. Rangers keep in. Panarin shoots, he scores! Artemi Panarin with 1:39 to go in regulation time has given the Rangers some life It's now a 2-1 game.
Sam Rosen with the call there for New York Rangers Radio. And I thought that I would have the contrast of the end of the series with both calls. This is Sam on the losing side.
The Rangers season has come to a disappointing end. It's over. The Florida Panthers have defeated the Rangers in game 6, 2-1 to advance to the Stanley Cup final for the second consecutive year. The Rangers' dream of a Stanley Cup has been ended in 6 games in the Eastern Conference final.
And now here's Doug Plagans on the winning side.
Lundell plays it down to our left. To the final 10 seconds we go. Zibanejad to play it. He'll fire it out of his own rink wide. Mikkola there, 5 seconds. Mikkola is going to hold this over on the far boards. The final seconds tick away. And the Florida Panthers are going to the Stanley Cup final. The Panthers are Eastern Conference champions for the second straight year. The Panthers take game 6 over the Rangers. 2-1 the final. The Panthers are moving on.
You got to love the both reactions. As always, Sam, very, very professional on the losing side. And on the other side, Doug Plagans, a professional as well, but also just so excited. Brings back so many memories for me for calling series wins and series losses.
I was going to ask you about your call in the when the Sharks finally made it to the Stanley Cup final. You remember?
I remember it. I won't repeat what I said. I wish I had I wish I had opened up that file because I could have played it for you. But it was I believe I used the word pandemonium because that's what it was like at SAP Center. And certainly in Florida and in Edmonton, we got the same thing. But always interesting to see how that all works. The Panthers advance. And, you know, we've got to talk to some of their players to find out exactly how they felt. And I think Matthew Tkachuk has been an outstanding spokesman for this team. He talked about reaching the final for the second consecutive year after it was all over.
Just a lot of motivation, dedication, commitment. The right pieces were added, some great pieces added, and just one mindset of doing whatever I can to get back to it. And I thought the guys that were here last year have done an unbelievable job coming back for the start of camp with this on their mind. So we are not done yet. We're very happy with the way, you know, this playoffs has gone for us, winning the first three, but it's a different feeling this year for sure. So very proud of the effort from everybody.
I want you to listen to the mindset of all of the answers of the Florida Panthers. Yeah. That was the first one. Very, very different than what you might hear on the Edmonton side. And there's no wrong answer for this, but it's just that what they've been through in the last year. And Tkachuk talked about that, how it all went back to the very beginning of training camp. He said it was definitely a different feel. And he said that here there were some real reasons why that was the case.
It just feels like we have a very deep team. I mean, there's guys that are, you know, not even able to, you know, be in the lineup right now that are huge parts of our team and have been huge parts of our season and in the playoffs. So it's just a different feeling this year. We're getting contributions from everybody. It doesn't matter who it is on any given night. Like, somebody's going to step up. You know, somebody's going to score the goals. There could be a different guy blocking the shots. I know I've said it a bunch, but we're all capable of doing everything. So, especially defense, right? So, no, I mean, we have so many guys on the team that are leading. You know, talk about guys like Barkey and Forsey, you know, guys like that that are bringing it each and every night that are easy guys to follow. And we're just the buy-in from everybody is so big that we knew we were probably going to, well, I don't know how I'm going to word this, but we expect to be back here. Obviously, nothing's guaranteed, but we are expecting this the way we've been working, the way we've been, you know, dialed in and detailed. So right now it feels we're very happy to be back, but, you know, we were going to be pushing for this and kind of expecting it the way we put in all the work. So we're very proud to be here. We're very happy, but the job's not finished.
Quite an answer, isn't it?
Very, very good answer. And the maturity that he has shown this season in particular has been really fun to watch. You know, we all think of Matthew Tkachuk. He was that guy in Calgary. He was you hated the guy, but boy, you'd love him on your team. But his leadership has taken a jump. His maturity level has taken a jump. And well, there was one moment at the end watching on it was on ABC. He walks in, says to the trainer, "I told you we'd get back here. I told you." It was pretty cool.
That is really cool. And we're going to get back to what he talked about in that locker room in a second. But I wanted to reflect on Sergei Bobrovsky's goaltending. We talked a lot about Luostarinen. I'm sorry. We talked a lot about Shesterkin. But we also needed to talk about the 35-year-old Sergei Bobrovsky, who's playing like he's 25, tremendous amount of energy, totally prepared. And he made big saves when he had to all series against the Rangers. And Alexander Barkov, the captain of the team, discussed it.
It is a luxury for sure. He's hardest working guy I ever seen, and you just know, like, when the guy works that hard, he's also like super calm every single day. Practice, he's having fun. Morning skate, he's having fun. Warm-ups, all that kind of stuff. Like, you see him being in the zone, you just know he's gonna be on top of his game, and he's been unbelievable. So, and you said he's 35. It's really hard to believe, and yeah, he's been amazing, and it's fun to watch from this close.
It sure is. And again, he's another guy that's a candidate probably for the Conn Smythe if they actually win the cup. But we've got a lot of great candidates for that award this year.
We really do, but you're absolutely right. As everybody knows, you cannot get too deep in the playoffs unless you have great goaltending. Both these teams had it when it comes to the New York Rangers and the Florida Panthers in this series. But Sergei Bobrovsky was, like you said, is like the old Sergei Bobrovsky. Big saves, calm, relaxed in there, and just gave the Florida Panthers a sense of confidence when he was able to make stop after stop after stop.
You know, most teams have a little award, whether it's a special hat or a fireman's hat or some kind of helmet or some kind of a trophy that they give for player of the game, something to do to inspire the guys during a long 82-game season and the playoffs. And every team does that. I want you to listen to what Paul Maurice said about that and what it means about his team when he talked about how everybody is invested.
It may be the most important thing for us. I'm walking out of the. I don't stay for the. Puck award or the awards they do. They kind of need me not to be there. And I've had it by that point. And I'm walking down the hallway last game and it erupts. And the fact that, okay, so either Lundy just came off the ice, but it's not the normal cheer. It's a way louder cheer. It just sounded like everybody. And that was Mikkola presenting the cup to Gadjevich. He just had twins, right? He'd been gone from the team and there were some challenges with that. So there's some concern with the whole thing. And then everybody's healthy and everybody's happy. What a wonderful thing for a player to be aware of. It's not always just the guys in the sweaters, right? It's the 27, it's the bigger group. So that's the soul of these guys. That's what makes them fun to be around.
So Jonah Gadjevich, former San Jose Shark, we just found out that he and his wife had twins, and they decided to give him the game award, which means that everybody, whether you're playing on the ice or not, if you're one of the Black Aces like Gadjevich has been, you're all part of it.
It's a great, what a great thing Paul said there, right? It's not just about the guys in the sweaters. There's a couple of former Sharks there for Sharks fans. There's Jonah and there's Steve Lawrence. Fantastic human beings. But I also liked him. He goes, "That's the soul of these guys." I mean, how many coaches talk like that about their players? That's the soul of these guys. That what makes them fun to be around. So I think it's fantastic. But that's what you saw with the Sharks back in 2016, with the fact that there's a family, there's a togetherness about the team that goes this far in the playoffs.
And by the way, when you get to the conference final, the team that doesn't win and move on, they have some of those same feelings too. And that was the way it was in the New York locker room. Very subdued for Coach Peter Laviolette, who's a Stanley Cup champion himself, has been to the final not only as a winner, but as a losing team. He talked about what his team couldn't do in this series.
It was difficult to score, you know, like generating the quality that we wanted to generate. We knew that coming in. We knew it from the way they finished the season. We knew it from their first round, their second round, and coming in that they weren't giving up a lot. And, you know, ultimately, I think that's something that we were able to do pretty consistently throughout the course of the year. And so you look at the scores, you look at the games, low scoring, one goal games, and, you know, ultimately, I think just trying to find that next goal inside of a game could be the difference.
New York Post article today from Larry Brooks, longtime reporter for that fine publication, says that maybe the core of the Rangers is going to have to change after what we just saw. What do you think?
Well, yeah, you always talk, you think about change right away. Like Zibanejad, Kreider, Panarin all went like 9-10 games with just scoring in one game. It's just, I don't know if they have to change the core. I don't know if they do or not. That's a team that had 114 points this year, but they just couldn't score against a team that's really good defensively. I don't know if I would change much. I think you still got a team. They just got a shot, Danny.
You're not going to change the goaltender, that's for sure. No. You know, Jacob Trouba made a critical error in the critical game. He's the captain of the team, wants to win more than anybody. But I think that Florida, the one thing that they did was that they were the best team in the playoffs without the puck. They were unbelievable when they didn't have it. They didn't give the Rangers much room to do anything. And when they did, I mean, you notice Panarin gets that goal at the end of the game because he finally got some space to use his skills. But that's the one thing that the Rangers are definitely going to have to fight through as we go through the playoffs.
We continue now with the Stanley Cup Playoff Report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
And now we move on to the Western Conference. Game 6, the Dallas Stars against the Edmonton Oilers. And boy, Rogers' place was really rocking as much as it was back in 2006 when the San Jose Sharks were at Rexall. And that building was pretty cavernously loud as well. But this one went to another level. And why not when Connor McDavid did this?
Coming off the goal line, finds McDavid, heading for the net, around steal, toe drag, backhander score. What a sensational goal by the captain, Connor McDavid. It's 1-0 Edmonton in game 6. Spectacular!
It really was a spectacular goal. You've seen it a zillion times, so have I. Connor McDavid, though, going up one-on-one against Miro Heiskanen. The one thing about it, Heiskanen's a left shot was caught on the wrong side of the ice. That split second of indecision, sometimes when you have to deal with that, McDavid takes advantage, and he did what I always like. He used the backhand. It's in the back of the net. But he was stick-handling inside a telephone booth. That's all the room he had.
Incredible. But that's Connor McDavid. He is a tremendously skilled individual. And that goal was spectacular. It was what you expect from the world's best player.
It's a goal that if they win the Stanley Cup, and maybe that's a portent of things to come. You remember Matteau, Messier, yeah. We will win, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's a big, big play that everybody will remember if especially the Oilers win. But of course, Zach Hyman had to make it 2-0 with a somewhat uncharacteristic goal because he wasn't a foot in front of the net.
Hyman in over the line. Now feeds Hyman. Quick shot, score! Power play goal! Edmonton takes a 2-0 lead! Zach Hyman from Connor McDavid with his 14th! And this crowd on its feet!
Evan Bouchard with 2 assists. McDavid 1+1. Draisaitl an assist. And 2 power play goals for Edmonton, none against. Their penalty killing was just great.
It really was. And they finally, in game 5, broke the power play snap that was going for both teams. But this is the weirdest game I've seen for a team to win.
10 shots on net and they win 2-1.
And they got outshot 35-10 and were outplayed from after they scored the second goal. It was all Dallas. Dallas played. That was one of their best games that they had played, for crying out loud. They got the forecheck going. They got shot after shot after shot. On the Canadian broadcast, one analyst said, well, really, the key is that Edmonton's playing great defense. You're getting outshot 35-10, dude. They're not playing good defense. Your goaltender stood in his head, which is part of the game.
Best game that Stuart Skinner has had in his playoff career. And you know what? He's starting to round into form, too. And maybe he isn't the worst of the 4 goalies that were left. I'll tell you what, he was really strong.
He was. But you know what, Danny? Didn't you say a couple shows ago when Chris Knobloch, who seemed to be pressing the right button, sat him out in the Vancouver series for two games, brought Pickard in. And then he kind of reset, came back, reminded me of Martin Jones in 2016. Kind of got that reset going in the conference finals and then was able to move on and play much better goal. So, yeah, Skinner played marvelous last night.
And here is McDavid after the game reflecting on his journey to the final.
Yeah, I mean, there's been lots of growing pains for sure. You know, lots of lessons along the way. And obviously it feels good. Feels great to be in this position. This was always part of the plan, and feels good to be here today.
I guess so. McDavid going to the final for the very first time. He's a seven-time 100-point scorer. And if he wins the Stanley Cup, I think it's the most 100-point seasons of somebody to get their first Stanley Cup, if that is a possibility whatsoever. Leon Draisaitl, also a tremendous playoff so far, talked about what it means to him to have the fans so into it, as you could hear in the background.
Yeah, it means a lot, of course. Like Connor said, a lot of painful years that we've gone through, and lots of learning along the way, and you know, obviously to be able to do it at home, and for this city and for these fans, and for ourselves as well, is you know, it's great. It's a great feeling, of course. That being said, of course, you know, we got bigger dreams and bigger goals right now.
Let's not forget that the Edmontonians were down to the Dallas Stars 2-1 in this series, and Draisaitl talked about their resolve and dealing with that, coming back and winning the close games.
Yeah, we take big pride in that. You have to in these moments. I think, like Connor said, sometimes it's not pretty, but no team is pretty while defending a lead with a team, you know, sitting 2 minutes away from being eliminated, right? They got an extra guy out there, and sometimes it's a little bit of desperation and a little bit of sacrifice, and at the end of the day, we got it done, and it's all that matters.
And Connor McDavid talked about dealing with those close games and how important that's going to be the rest of the way.
Yeah, we've closed out big games. It's not always been maybe the prettiest, but we've got it done, and that's really all that matters. You know, I thought we gave up a couple looks coming down the stretch that we'd like to not give up, but, you know, guys sacrificing their body with big blocks, or, you know, Stu making timely saves, or whatever it was. You know, we got it done, and that's all that really matters. We'll move on from this one tonight.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the ice, the Dallas Stars weren't feeling very good after their great season, and head coach Pete DeBoer put it this way.
Well, just gutted is the only word I can feel, you know, when you lose a game like that. You know, I think proud of our group, proud of our fight, proud of our battle. You're just gutted. You know, they did leave everything out there. You know, should be going for a game, going to play a game seven. We're not. You know, you have to give Edmonton credit. Their power play, particularly over the last two games, was good, and their goaltender was good. You know, it's fine lines. You get to this point of the year, and you know, they were on the right side of it. I thought we had a little bit of an off night in game five. And they won. You know, they had an off little bit of an off night tonight, and you know, they still found a way to win. That's the difference, you know. Post in overtime in the game one. So anyway, I don't know. It's tough to swallow.
You get it all in that quote, Drew, from Pete DeBoer. Yeah. And as we come toward the end, by the way, outside the building, more people just outside Rogers Place chanting, "We want the cup," than live in Imperial Saskatchewan, Chris Knobloch's hometown, population 362.
Yeah, exactly. It's just right outside in that area, in that room. All the fans are screaming and yelling, and yeah, they want the cup, but they're going to have to go through a very, very, very good team to do it. I'm literally looking forward, Danny, to this final. I'm always looking forward to the final. You are, I know, as well. But felt bad for Pete. Felt terrible for Pavs. Tyler Seguin was heartbroken. But it's funny to look at the contrast, the juxtaposition between the winners and the losers, isn't it?
It sure is. And The finals will be two teams facing a style that they haven't really seen yet so far in the playoffs, so that's going to add to all of the drama. Thanks for joining us today on this episode.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.